Hallelujah. 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 We're here to obviously celebrate the Lord. But sometimes there's reason to celebrate other things. Hallelujah. And we heard there's a birthday in the house today. So I wanna sing happy birthday to Tom, all right? Happy birthday. Okay, happy birthday. Yeah, we don't need a happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tom. Happy birthday to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now that you're fully embarrassed and all that stuff. All right, hallelujah.
Of those where we drive at dawn.
Opening scripture, trust will be a blessing to you, and that the Holy Spirit will give you revelation of how important this verse is, because we are going to officially begin our probably very lengthy teaching on words, how important words are, and that will be later in the service. But this morning, if you would go to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. Rick wants to go a whole bunch more than that, but I'm going to restrain myself under the restraining of the Spirit and stick to these two for our openers.
I want 20, 24, 25, please.
See, there you go. All right. Wow, listen to that. Did you come hungry today? I like that. That's good. That's right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. It's the only way you're going to get it. You can't conjure it up. You can't think it up. You can't make it up. It's only going to come from one source, and that's the word of God. In verse 22, when Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, patient in the Greek language, basically, the reference is basically have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith operating. You can do that because you're made in His likeness, you're made in His image, you're born of His Spirit, and the capacity to have the God kind of faith is already on the inside of each one of you. So number one, get out of yourself and get into His kind of faith that's in you. Okay, that's very important. Have the God kind of faith. Use the God kind of faith, the faith that God put in you based on His word. Now, I'll admit, the less word you have, the less faith in God you may have, because you won't have the understanding of even what you're believing Him for. But the next part is very important. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And the reason this is important is because it's a further introduction into the power of words that we speak. Notice it doesn't say that whosoever shall think to this mountain. And our lives are filled with mountains. It could be an earthly mountain. In that case, call Andy. He's got a couple excavators. Okay? But there are mountains in people's lives, things that are very difficult to overcome. And this is a real important truth, because it doesn't say, go and ask God to remove that mountain. This is important, because as born-again believers, God has given the body of Christ all power and all authority
over this earthly realm. Now that may sound strange to some of you, but it isn't strange. How did God manifest his power when Jesus was here? He worked it through Christ, didn't he? For 3.5 years, the people saw God in a very personal way. He came in the form of Christ. Every miracle, every demon that was cast out, the waves were stilled, the winds were calmed. Everything Jesus did, it was God working through him. So all the manifestations of God's power and his goodness were manifested through Christ. Christ is now ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. You now, in Christ, are the body of Christ. God has not changed any way in how he does things. He works through you. He's made an investment in you and I, as members of the body of Christ. The same power, the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit, the same authority that was in Christ is now on the inside of each one of you. But until you know that, until you really believe that, you quite often will ask God to do something, and if you're really still, he might say, I gave that power to you. You do it. That's important. That is really, really important to set a kind of an advance understanding of what's coming in the rest of this teaching. It says, whosoever shall what? Say. Well, doesn't that mean words are going to come out of our mouths? Right? Now, whosoever. Who's a whosoever? We are. That's right. See, God is no respecter of persons. And what if you're not saved? That person is still a whosoever. We're talking about spiritual laws that God has put in place, and they work for the believer, they work for the non-believer. Because God is no respecter of persons. And this is important. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Shall say unto this mountain, what's your mountain today? What's the obstacle in your way? What do you see that's standing between you and your quality of relationship with him? What's in your heart today? What heaviness is there? What issues are you really concerned about? Retiring? What's it going to be like? Raising Noah? Your ministries, your gifts, your talents, your skills, sickness, disease, job opportunities, housing, clothing, all the things that we have need of. What is that mountain in your life that you ask God to remove and you find that it's still there, and then you think that God didn't answer your prayer? Did you realize it might just be that you haven't learned to speak to it yourself? Yeah, that sounds strange. That sounds really out there. But listen to what happens. This is what you speak. Be thou removed. 3 words. Doesn't have to be a big, long religious deal. There's a lot of that. Religion kills. Relationship brings life. Be thou removed. And not only did he tell us what to speak to it, he told us where to go. You know, if it's sickness, you say, go back to hell where you came from in the name of Jesus. Because that's where it came from. It's like getting a package in the mail and they got your name on it, but you don't have to receive it. You can send it back. It has a return address. As we study through the scriptures, you're going to find out what comes from God and what comes from the enemy. And you're going to learn how to speak to it and send it back where it came from. If you really, really need to make sure you get all the CDs, this is going to be a very long teaching, but I'll guarantee you, those of you that the last time I did this, it was so long ago, we were still making little plastic cassettes. So it's been a long time. So these words have been burning. Speak to the mountain, tell it where to go, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Don't cop an attitude of, that ain't going to work. Not for you it won't. That was your confession. So you already whipped yourself. If you come at this with any other attitude except, wow, Jesus said this, and he said, verily, that means truly, truly, there is no purer form of truth than when Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say to you," the words that I'm speaking to you come from the highest authority and the purest of truth that there could possibly be, because it came from God's own mouth. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. And we're going to get into all of the things that we say, and we release our faith believing that they're going to come to pass, and they'll come to pass. And we're going to look at for the good or for the bad, because the spiritual law governs everything that comes out of our mouths. And it's so powerful. So many times we're asking God to change something, and we haven't learned yet to speak according to his word, and you'll see circumstances change. Like looking at a big pile of bills, and you see no way out. And you look at those, and you say, "I'll never get out of debt." No, you just cursed yourself. Why would you want to do that? You might rightfully say that. See, that mountain could be a mountain of bills, unpaid things that you just, in your natural senses, can't figure out, how am I going to get out of this? You're going to say, "God, pour down money from heaven." Are you going to say, "God, make the mountain be removed"? Or are you going to learn to speak from the word of God about that mountain and learn how to remove it by your words? Because that's what we're going to be talking about for a long time, as our time permits us to, on Sunday. So this is going to be really, probably for some of you, it might be a really good refresher course. I always get something more each time I bring back a teaching. Usually it's 5 to 7 years, and I may revisit something. We're always changing. We have new people coming all the time. And you're really going to be convinced, yes, I'm really way out there, but you're going with me, because it's a... I still go barefoot, so, you know, we're cool. We can do this. We can walk through this together. It says, which he says, not what he thinks. You know, the power of positive thinking, all that does is keeps you thinking about good things as long as they're positive. But God is interested in what comes out of our mouths. Angels are interested in what comes out of our mouths. Demons are interested in what comes out of our mouths. And the words that we speak, we're going to be speaking either for one or the other. And that's the seriousness of this. We're going to have a lot of fun with it too. But this is a spiritual law that can never be broken. God established it. So if you call yourself a dingbat, well, you might as well go get a bat and a cup, and you can go ding ding, "I'm a dingbat, I'm a dingbat." You know, and you'll just keep living like a dingbat. See, you don't have to stay the way you used to be. You can start speaking who God says you are. "I'm a new creation. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an alcoholic. But guess what? I died. The day I got saved, I died. The old Rick died. The old nature, the old characteristics that governed who I was at that time. I went to my own funeral. And it was so cool, because it was only just seconds. And I was raised up to walk in newness of life. And you know what? Rick is no longer an alcoholic. Rick is no longer a drug addict. Rick is a new creation in Christ. I've been made after the image of my Heavenly Father. I've been made in his likeness. And when you start speaking God's word about who God says you are, instead of who man says you are, instead of who you say you are, your life is going to change. You can absolutely guarantee it. This is no hocus pocus, black magic, whatever you want to call it. This stuff really works. It is the power of God's word that changes things. Look at what happened before there was anything. Going all the way back to Genesis, what happened? God spoke. And look at what happened as a result of what he spoke. If you want to create something new for your life, learn to speak something new over your life. How could Paul write in the book of Ephesians, "Let him that stole steal no more, but use your hands for an honest gain or for an honest living"? "Oh, but I was a thief all these years. I spent a lot of time in jail because I was a thief." That's right, you was a thief. was, you were. But something happened. Something happened called born again. See, the thief no longer has to be a thief. The prisoner no longer has to be a prisoner. Whoever you used to be, you don't have to be anymore. In God's word, where are you going to put your priority? Who are you going to go to as your most trusted source of information that will form patterns that will carry you all through the rest of this life? And we're going to talk about all that stuff in the context of His Word. And I'm really excited about it. I was telling Kenny and Laurie this morning, I know that we've been on the taxiway coming to this point where the tower gives you clearance to go for it, for the takeoff, and I feel like that's what's happened spiritually. I've been on the taxiway for 3 years with Tyler. We've talked about this in Bible studies, and I feel like I've got clearance from the tower. We're going forward. We're ready for the takeoff. So I hope you'll just hang in there and go with us and really listen to this, because it is absolutely life-changing principles that we're going to be talking about, and it all has to do with this tiniest, smallest member of our body called our tongue, and the power of death is in that tongue, and the power of life is in that tongue, and the words that our tongue speaks create. That's the significance of this. So, with that in mind, I say we should have an awesome huggy break, and let's just get ready to go in the Spirit and just enjoy the rest of this day. This is really going to be good stuff. If you would, please, would you turn to Proverbs 18:21? This is the scripture that, if there could be a foundation to build upon for this teaching on words, this would surely be the place where I would choose to start. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. One of the most written about topics in all of the Bible has to do with our words. All the subjects that the Bible talks about, words are mentioned more than anything else. You might find that strange, but it's true. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Everything was created by words spoken in faith by God Himself. And I think about that because imagine the vision that God had, that He saw before it was ever created. And now think about your life, that vision that you have, that hope you have, that destiny you have. What do you see for yourselves? Where do you see yourself going? Who do you see yourself becoming? Do you ever think about those things? Think about the Lord. Before anything was created, He had a vision. Before we go to Proverbs 18:21, quick trip to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning. We're just going to hit the first few words of chapter 1 so that you can kind of see a pattern with words, the history of words, where words originated and why they're so important. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. It was without form and void, and was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Here we see God, we see the Holy Spirit available to existence, that which God was about to speak. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. The Holy Spirit took what God said and caused it to manifest. He caused light to manifest because God and His Spirit worked together. Verse 6, and God said, let there be firmament, or substance, something besides water. Notice it says, and God said, let there be. Once again, the Holy Spirit brought that into manifestation. The Holy Spirit's been at work all the way back to the beginning of the written word that we have. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. But see, what happened before anything was created? God spoke. Even before it happened, God spoke. This pattern is still true in our lives. We might be sitting here in this room today and seeing everything the same as it's always been. Well, maybe God's just waiting for us to speak something. It's kind of like if you keep doing the same old thing all the time and expecting a different result, then something's got to change with that formula. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Needs a little water, you know, but it said in God, apparently there was no grass before God spoke, because the only evidence of grass was after God spoke, and the Holy Spirit created that. So kind of start getting a pattern here of how important speaking something into existence is. Even before it is, you speak it. And because words have a creative power about them, they bring into existence that which you have spoken. That's why they're so important. If you want to see changes, learn to speak changes. Learn to get a vision for change. Learn to see a change with your children, a change with each other, a change in your family, a change in your job, a change in your relationship with others. Get a vision for that and begin to speak to it with your mouth, and don't undo your prayers. Because we can undo a prayer just that quick by our words. Verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament, come into existence. God spoke again, and it was so. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. And that happened. Verse 24, on the sixth day, and God said, let the living critters, oh, that's just Tom and I, let the living creatures.
That's not us yet.
Now, Tom and I are critters. That came from India. Yeah, we're critters. Yeah, we're good critters, though, with a capital C. Yeah. And God said, and when the Holy Spirit caused it to manifest. And the next one, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Here's where God gave you dominion and authority over all of His creation. Now that sounds pretty awesome, because I don't know how long later, but Adam and Eve were created as God had said they would be. Let us, there you have the Trinity again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our likeness after our image, after our likeness. Well, that included the capacity to speak words. And if you have been given dominion and authority, how is anybody going to know if you don't use it, if you don't exercise it, if you don't take authority over your current situation and do something to change that, and using words to do it, so that you give the Holy Spirit something to make a difference? You can't just say, my kids are a bunch of troublemakers. Because what you're doing is you're perpetuating it. You can't expect the school to do your homework for you. You can't expect the schools to raise your children. You can't expect the schools to teach your children the things of the Lord. That's not going to happen by itself. And you can't keep saying those kind of things, because what you're doing is you're putting a curse on your own kids, because you're speaking contrary to all the scriptures in the Bible that pertain to our children. Learn scriptures that pertain to your children and then speak those words over your children. That's what brings change. And that's where we're going with this. We're going to look at all the funky little funny phrases that we've said ever since the time we were born. And then we're going to learn how to substitute those for the Word of God that pertains to that. Because you see, as long as we keep speaking words negative or contrary to the Word of God, we're aligning ourselves with our enemy. And the Word of God says that if two be in agreement, or two, if there are two witnesses, then the matter is settled or established. And so if we're speaking words contrary to the Bible, guess who we're speaking with? The enemy. That's right, because there's only two sides. And so as long as we keep speaking with words that are contrary to God's word, then Satan and his hordes of demons are going to make sure they're listening for you to speak those words so that they can keep your circumstances the same and you're powerless to change it until you learn a different way of speaking. And we're going to look at both sides, because it's really important that this be balanced so that we don't get all lopsided on one way. So come back to 18:21. I'll show you. You know, verse 20 starts off with words too. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So if you're confessing you're poor, you're broke, busted, and disgusted, and that's the way you'll stay. See, we curse ourselves with our own mouths, with our own words. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. There's a lot of wisdom when Solomon wrote about the revelation of words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Wrote a little note with that. If you love the words you speak, you'll eat the fruit of it. As Christians, the issue of motive comes in also with words that we speak. Yes, Tyler. Yes.
And you were saying, well, keep saying that you're poor if you want to start. And you know what? We declare that we are blessed, prosperous, and most humane.
That's right.
We will not go hungry. We will not lack. We will have provision in Jesus' name.
That's right.
That's all you got to do.
That's it. And coming back to the opening scripture, if we believe in our heart what we say, it will come to pass. That's why it's important that if we're going to release our faith in anything that's going to bring a good change, it has to be based on God's word. That's very important. But just think of the power of your words. Death is in the power of your words. Life is in the power of your words. Tom, did you find that chart that we can put up on the board? So I want to show you some examples. There you go. These are our words. Our words create on the life side, or they destroy on the death side. Our words build up, or they tear down. Our words encourage others, or they discourage others. Our words bring healing. Our words wound others. Our words loose angels, or our words bind angels. That means render them helpless, ineffective in our lives. Or our words loose angels and bind demons. Did I say that? I did. Okay. Life, we bind demons, and that should be loose angels. bind them or loose them. We can bless or curse. We can tell the truth or tell lies. We can speak words of faith or we can speak words of fear. We can speak words that justify or we can speak words that condemn. We can speak words of exercising self-control or we can speak words of anger. We can speak words of peace or we can speak words of strife. And there are multitudes more, but I'm trying to keep it simple. And the reason that's a good chart is because it shows you the contrast of we can speak either. Non-believers don't have the privilege of being able to speak in line with God's word under the power of the Holy Spirit because they're bound by their natural senses. You and I are no longer bound by the natural elements of the natural senses. We've been given the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the authority that's in Jesus' name when we speak His name. Why do you think before we're saved and unsaved people, how come they never say Mohammed or Buddha when they swear? It's always Jesus. Do you ever wonder that question? Why do they use His name?
I know.
Because they know it works.
But you know when they do that and holler at somebody else, I said, do you know actually you're mad at God? That's who you're mad at.
Yeah.
When you do it.
Yeah. That's right. But the fact of the matter is, as believers, we can do something about a lot of situations that need to change. And we're always expecting God to do everything. Well, you know what? He's already done everything. You need to get a grip about what happened at the cross. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as His power has, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us. So we spend a lot of time chatting and empty words go into the throne room of God out of a lack of knowledge, a lack of faith, a lack of, well, we're filled with doubt and unbelief, because if we really believe that, there's very few things that we would ever find ourselves needing to ask God anymore. There would be prayers of thanksgiving. Why? Because of what God already said He gave us. If He's already given me all things that pertain to life, wow, that's a big chunk of my prayer life. Now I can just devote to praise and worship. I don't have to ask Him for those things anymore. Why? Because He already gave them to me. It's like that kid who wanted a new car. If he got his hair cut, Father would have gave him a new car. And then he wouldn't have to go and ask his dad anymore for a new car. Why? Because his dad gave him one. You have a heavenly bank account that's filled with everything in God's kingdom already put there for you. You have to learn how to make a withdrawal slip, spiritually speaking. Okay, let's look at some of the things that from this chart. Words of doubt and unbelief will bind God and His angels. These words actually give Satan and demons permission to operate against us. Now, to the Christian, Satan and all his demons have been defeated by Christ's resurrection at the cross. However, by our words, it's like we put out the welcome mat. Say, I know Jesus kicked your butt, but... And then we'll go say stupid stuff, and then it gives him permission to come back into our life against us and work against us. I tried it and it didn't work for me. Number one, this little phrase. I'm going to just read you some phrases common to man until we learn what not to say. So I'm just going to read through them and see if you can identify any of these, if you've ever said any of these. It's getting worse. The devil saying, oh boy, I got them, they ain't seen nothing yet. I hope they keep saying it. I'll show them what's getting worse. Because see, that's spiritually, that's what's going on behind the scenes. So you don't see what's happening in the spiritual realm. It's invisible to us. unless the Lord would open our eyes to see who's working for us and who's working against us. Can you imagine God's angels? And all you confess is it's getting worse, and yet God gave you everything that pertains to life and godliness, but it's getting worse coming out of your mouth. I can just see all of his angels just standing there, silent, maybe even weeping, because you have spoken something that released Satan and his angels or his demons. You've given them authority. You've put yourself back in Egypt under Pharaoh's hand. Because if you keep saying it's getting worse, it's going to get worse. And then you go around and tell all your friends, see, I told you it was getting worse. See, we like to do that. We like to prove to people we're right. See, I told you so. Here's another one. I prayed and it didn't work out. Well, I prayed and it did. Who are you going to believe? Okay? I'll never get ahead. I'll never get these debts paid. I'll never have the money to make the car payment. You just watch. We'll lose our car. You tell all your friends that. You just watch. Bear witness. I speak the truth. You just watch. And the wrecker shows up and all the neighbors will say, yep, just lost the car. He told me that was going to happen. See, that's speaking void of the Holy Spirit. That's speaking words of foolishness, contrary to God's word. It's flu season. I always get it. That's a good one. Well, to some people, it's always flu season because they always seem to have it. That's because they keep saying this. It's allergy season. I always get allergies. Well, why don't you do something about it? Just asking. Don't freak out yet. My kids are always acting up. Why? Because you keep saying it. You're not doing something to break the pattern. See, this is going to get you thinking. My husband or my wife will never change. Not as long as you keep speaking a curse over her, she won't change. Not as long as you keep cursing your husband, he won't change. Because you keep him bound with your mouth. You ought to close your mouth. Truthfully speaking. If you haven't learned to speak words of life, then it's best not to speak words of death. Death comes all by itself. You don't have to confess it to hurry it up. I'm afraid so. What are you afraid of? You see, we just changed that around because it sounds better than I'm so afraid. So we say, I'm afraid so. And then we have, I hope so. You go up here for prayer and I pray for you and you walk away healed and you say, well, I hope so. You go downstairs and get three other people to pray for you because you didn't believe it happened the first time around. Well, I hope that'll work. Well, it won't if you didn't release any faith. You can't live on hope alone. That's why faith, hope, and love all work together. And none of it's going to work without love. Number 13, that just tickles me to death. Can you imagine how horrible it would be to die that way? Keep saying it and you'll find out one day. Yeah, but did you ever watch a person suffocate until they took their last breath in the agony that it was? That's right.
That tickling thing is true because I used to have that problem. My brothers would do it when you were young, and I couldn't stand it, and I had to do that. This is what you said, in the power of just saying, all right, from now on, that's it. It's not going to bother me anymore. And they do it, and I'm, you know, not laughing, not doing anything. And then finally they let me alone. I said, well, that's no fun anymore. So,
amen.
I said, once you make your mind up and your mind is set on Christ,
yes. Here's a famous one. Take care. How quick is it? How hard is it to just change that and say, cast your cares? See, that's biblical. See, one way you're putting a yoke on around somebody's neck. I mean, life is what it is, but why would you want to take any more cares added to it? See, because spiritually what's happening is we're putting a yoke on people. But if you say, cast your cares, you're setting them free. Because Jesus told us to cast our cares upon the Lord, for He cares for us. God didn't say, you think you got cares, look what I got going on in heaven. Here, boom, take care. I always use the example of when I go to India, I have everything that I need in my suitcase and there's no room for care, so don't tell me to take care. There's no room in my bag for it. It won't fit. I bring things to give away, to give to others, and I'm not going to fill my suitcase with cares to give away to somebody else. I'm going to bring maybe extra trousers or extra shirts, something that'll help somebody, but to take care. No, it's real easy. See, we're going to learn how to change those things so that we're speaking words of life, so that we can edify and build each other up. And don't feel guilty about this. This is kind of fun, because we all can relate to or identify with some of these things, but we're going to find out how to change that. I'll never amount to anything. Some of us had that spoken over us when we were kids. And I have a brother that grew up believing it, and you know what? He never amounted to anything. He's sitting in his chair waiting for God to take him home. That's his confession. That's sad. That's really sad. Because you see, he was cursed from his own father. And that's why we have to learn these, because some of us, we have children and we have grandchildren. And it's not too late to change some of the things that we've been speaking. Why would we want our kids to grow up cursed like that? Because we do it out of ignorance. We just don't know. Our parents did it. Our grandparents did it. We thought we'd jump on the "we'll do it too" bandwagon. You don't have to. Let the wheels fall off your wagon right in front of your own house, and you can change things. How easy it is to just change a few words so that they become words of life. I'm too tired to go to church. Well, had you ever entertained the thought of going to bed a little earlier Saturday night? Oh, that's party night. Dude, I can sleep in tomorrow. I'm too tired. I'll leave that alone. Child raising days. He'll fall off his bike and break his neck. Rollerblades, he'll fall and break his arm or leg. You go out and buy all the safety equipment just in case. We're conditioned by the culture around us to prevent some of these things from happening. The devil's been after me all week. And my word to you is, if you knew it was him, why'd you give him a week? If you know who it is, stop it. Stop him. He, the devil, comes and fouls up everything. Well, he's only fulfilling scripture. He's called the fowler. Wouldn't you expect him to foul up your things? My back is killing me. Yeah? How are you going to do that? Can you imagine? Can you just imagine if your back could really kill you? How would he do it? How would it do it? But we say those things. Wow, you're going to go home and your head's just going to be buzzing with all this stuff, because you'll remember. Good grief. We're watching too many Charlie Brown movies. Oh, good grief. What's good about grief? My Bible, I can thank God that He bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. And so I've learned, for the most part, to correct some of those phrases that I too spoke and didn't see anything happening. But we're going to get down to everyday application of these principles. You see, by saying these words that I just read off this chart, we've come into agreement with Satan and established his words in the earth instead of God's words being established. Psalm 119:89 tells us that God's word is established in the heavens. In order for it to be established in the earth, how's that going to happen? It's got to happen because we declare it. We speak it. We speak it, but it has to be established in us before we can speak it to somebody else, because if we don't really believe it, Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21, angels are listening and waiting for us to speak God's word, faith-filled words, giving voice to God's word. If we don't speak it, the angels won't hear it and cannot act on our behalf. Thus, we have bound them, angels, with our own words. So that takes on the more serious side of words. And so we're going to talk about things like binding and loosing, justifying and condemning, all of these principles that Jesus taught us from the Gospels. And it all has to do with our words. It's an amazing thing how powerful these truths are. Because if we'll really grasp them, you can go home today and make a difference in something that you've been trying to get changed, and you thought you've tried everything that you knew how to do. Well, try speaking something different. And come back next week with your testimony. When I think now one of the things that I hear the most is the bad news about the economy and all the people that losing their jobs, and to the Christian in the workplace, and saying they're laying people off this week. I haven't been there as long as anybody else. I'll probably be next. And I've heard Christians say that because, see, they really believe it. And then when they lose their job, they miss the blessing that they could have had. You see, a simple little thing like finances. I can't pay my bills. I can't do this or I can't do that in the realm of finances. One of the first things I think about as a believer, from the time Faith and I got saved 30 years ago, we spent more money on buying dope and had little food in the house. But the one thing that we did, we immediately began tithing, and we weren't even taught about tithing. It was just something we started doing. 10% of our income. And we started sowing that to our local church. And I don't know how the cupboards got filled with food. I don't know how, at that time, that opened up a door of God's favor and blessing in our lives. Malachi talks a lot about that. I call him the Italian prophet Malachi. And he said, bring all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Trust me, prove me, test me. If I will not open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain at all. And in the next verse he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Did you ever start saving up a little money for a nice little fun thing and then the car breaks? See the devourer, the one who comes to eat, to steal, to destroy, to rob, to plunder, to make sure that you never have enough, is connected to your giving, is connected to your tithes. Yes, we don't live under the law anymore. You should be so happy to know that. Back then, God only asked for 10%. Now he wants 100%. To the New Testament believer, God owns everything. We're just stewards. You should rejoice that he only asked for 10%. But you see, if you don't tithe, I can't stand up here and say, God has two promises, but you're never going to have them. You will never have them until you comply with a requirement. If you can't trust the Lord with your money, how can you trust Him to keep your butt out of hell? Hello? Did I really say that? I did say that. Because it's so true. Everybody's talking about money or the lack of it in the economy. Why should you think negative if you're a tither and a giver? You shouldn't even be concerned about being laid off. You shouldn't even be concerned about not having your needs met, because God has so many promises in His Word about our needs being met. Another one David wrote, very prophetic, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's a good scripture to memorize for your children. You want to start speaking words of life over your children? There's a good place to start right there. You've been made the righteousness of God. God said so in His Word. You have been made righteous. That means in right standing with God, and therefore one of those promises concerns your children, their future. They'll never be begging bread. Wow, start there. While your kids are little, while you can make a difference, that they're not going to grow up on welfare and depending on the government for everything that comes down the pipe. Get an Obama phone. I didn't have to pay for it. No, I paid for it. You should thank me for your phone. Come on now. Who's God? Whose God do we serve? Whose God do we believe? Whose God are we going to release our faith in? And it all comes back to words and the Word. Don't say, learn not to say things that are contrary to. Does it mean you got to do some homework? Oh yeah, I'll give you all the scripture references. Tom's making a CD, and you may have to play these things over and over and over until they get familiar to you. I was sharing this little book. Faith and I were given this book when we got saved. It's called The Tongue, A Creative Force, written by a man that's almost 90 years old now named Charles Capps. You can buy this on Amazon.com for $378. And this book changed my life. I was the most negative speaking. Everything negative that could happen, I was confessing it and then going around telling everybody, see, I told you so. The principles of truth that are in this little book, what I've covered here, I looked at all the scriptures that he wrote. And I looked them up and I studied them. And it took years and years to learn what I'm trying to crash feed you and however many Sundays we have to do it. But this is a great book, and I'd like to see us be able to get one. So if you want one, it's called The Tongue, A Creative Force. It's very biblical, and it's even better than anything I can present. Mine's a Reader's Digest condensed version of truths that have taken all these years, that have so changed my way of Christianity, so changed my confession, the words that I speak, because I am not knowingly and willingly going to badmouth another person. I don't care what they've done. It doesn't matter. My job is to bless and to encourage and to build up, not to tear down other people. And see, we're not doing this just because we're doing it because it's so helpful. It's really needful. I spend a lot of time talking with most of you, even during the week or by phone, and I just listen to your words, and I know why you're in trouble sometimes. And that's why I care. Because you've spoken curses over your life and you don't even realize it. And I can't be any kind of help. I can't show any kind of love for you if I don't teach you how to undo some of those things. And so if you'll bear with us, it's going to be kind of lengthy, but I think as time goes on, you'll have the opportunity to make some changes. How quick does it take you to speak? That's how quick your change can begin. That's how quick it can happen. Just make a decision. I learned something today. I'm not going to say those words again. I'm going to say these instead. And stick with it. Never speak bad of your kids. Speak what God says. They're blessed. They're an inheritance from the Lord. Any of you would like prayer this morning?